produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Well, hello to all the listeners. It's my pleasure to be sending you greetings. Warm greetings from South Africa. It's pretty warm over here. I know it's a little bit cold over there, but it's a privilege and a pleasure to be able to share with you today. And today I wanted to share on the subject matter of relationships. If you're out there, I want you to say the word relationships with me. So relationships are very important to us. God never meant for us to live isolated lives, but he has given us destiny helpers, and he has created us as people who must relate with one another. And one of the things that will make us win is when we come together in unity, come together as a team, whether it's in ministry, whether it's as a family, however it is. But unity is a powerful weapon to ensure victory on our behalf. And one of the things that I've seen in this season is that relationships are being very, very negatively impacted. As a pastor, and I'm sure there's so many pastors out there, men and women of God, who are experiencing the same thing. Relationships are under a great attack in this season. I don't think in my few 35 years of ministry, I can ever say that I've had to do as much counseling as I have had to do in this season. People are coming out and, just offending one another, attacking one another. There's a great deal of hostility out there. There's a great deal of anger. There's a great deal of emotionalism and a lot of hatred out there. And it is impacting on relationships, on marital relationships, on friendships, on relationships within the body of Christ. And so today, I really wanted to talk about relationships and talk about how are we supposed to act and how are we to handle the attack that is on relationships in this season. One of the scriptures I love the most is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 32, and it talks about the sons of Issachar and the fact that they knew the season, and not only did they know the season, but they knew how to respond. They had a strategy for responding. So they knew the season, and they knew what strategy to employ or to deploy. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening in this season and why it's happening and how to respond in this season to protect our relationships and to make sure that we fulfill our purpose and mandate in God. Because there's no way that we will fulfill purpose as a single, isolated human being. We need one another, we need each other, and God has ordained relationships. The first thing I wanted to talk about is coming from the scripture, John 10:10. And this sets out not only the mandate of the devil, but it sets out the mandate of Jesus. And we know that this scripture tells us that Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, in complete direct opposite, in the same scripture, John 10:10, we learn that the devil has a mandate as well. And his mandate is to steal, his mandate is to kill, and his mandate is to destroy. And so we need to first and foremost understand that this is his job description, it's his mandate, to steal, kill, and destroy. And one of the ways that he will effectively be able to fulfill his own mandate is through stealing, killing, and damaging relationships. So he's disrupting the unity of families. He's disrupting unity in ministries, within the church environment. And as he does that within the work environment, the more he can disrupt that unity by bringing suspicion, bringing deception, the more he can do that, the easier it makes his own job. So he really is going all out to steal relationships, to kill them, to destroy relationships. I believe that some of you out there may have probably, you know, broken relationships. There's some relationships out there that that you feel, you know, maybe the enemy has come in between just to now start destroying and stealing it and just really impacting negatively. Well, we're going to pray for relationships at this end. And any relationship that God has ordained, we're going to pray that God will bring it back together. Amen. Also, I wanted us to know that one of the things, as we were saying, the enemy uses relationships. He's destroying, attacking relationships as never before, sending out arrows out there to make sure that the unity in the families and within the body of Christ is destroyed, so that it will be so much more challenging for us to fulfill the mandate of the body of Christ. Now, we know that God tells us that we don't use the weapons of the world to fight. In fact, we are told that we have been given weapons that will pull down every stronghold of human reasoning and destroy every false argument. One of the greatest weapons that the enemy is using, the devil is using in this season, is the weapon of deception and false accusation. Concerning deception, we know that the devil himself is surrounded by deception. That is his modus operandi, his main way of operating. If you read scripture, it tells us that he walks around and walks about as a roaring lion. He's not really a lion, but he uses deception to create the impression that he is a roaring lion. And he will always try to counterfeit the image of Christ. We know that Christ is the real lion. He's described as the Lion of Judah. So the best that the devil can do is to counterfeit the image of Christ. He's not a lion, but he tries to be like a lion. He tries to enlarge himself, his appearance, his power, his capacity, and make it look like he's a lion when he's not. So he's very deceptive in that. He also tries to disguise himself as an angel of light. We know that he's no longer an angel. He was previously an angel, but now he represents the kingdom of darkness. But he now tries to deceive many of us by manifesting himself as an angel of light. So deception is part of who the devil is. It goes to his very core. It's his modus operandi. And as believers, we need to understand this, that he will be bringing every level of deception to try to confuse us, to try to derail us, to try to deny us, to try to do all sorts of things, take us out of mandate. And in John 8:44, again, if you read that scripture, it tells us that there is no truth in him. There's no truth in the devil. And it says that when he's lying, in fact, lies are his original language. That's what comes naturally to him. Most of us would have a mother tongue, and I would like to actually put it out there that lying is the mother tongue of the devil. And it, even that scripture describes him as a liar and the father of lies. So he is the originator of all lies. So I think we're now getting a little picture about who the devil is. He is deception himself, and he uses lies as a way of deceiving us, deceiving people in the world, deceiving members of the body of Christ even. And he uses also false accusation is another key weapon that he uses to try to derail and confuse us and take us out of our key mandate. We also learn that the devil is an accuser of the brethren. Revelation 12:10 describes him as the accuser of our brothers and sisters, and he accuses us day and night. That is his mandate. Every time you and I wake up, we need to understand this. As we wake up, He is looking for an opportunity. He is looking for some reason to be able to accuse us falsely. When we understand this, it's easier for us to respond unemotionally. And the challenge that many of us are having is that when we receive false accusation or when we're confronted with false accusation, we immediately want to respond emotionally. So we don't need to respond emotionally, respond spiritually. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal, but they're mighty in God, through God, to the pulling down of strongholds of every false argument that is raised against you. You don't respond by throwing stones. When the men that David was with, King David was with his men, wanted to stone him, he didn't respond by picking up stones and stoning them back. But it says that after a little bit of a moment of crying, he encouraged himself in the Lord. So what we need to do is not to respond in the same manner. I think we're getting a little bit of a picture around the season, what is happening. I believe in many nations, God is beginning to bring revival in many nations. I know in the southern Africa. And so the question arises to say, what do we do in this time, in this season, where the enemy is attacking relationships, he's attacking marriages, he's attacking relationships between parents and children, he's attacking relationships at work, he's attacking relationships in the body of Christ. You see that churches and assemblies are struggling to, flow and to survive because there's so much false accusation, there's so many arguments, there's suspicion, people are suspicious of one another. There's a whole range of things that are happening. I'm having to counsel people regularly, even pastors and ministers of the gospel, where there's lack of trust, suspicion, and all this because the enemy is throwing out deception and false accusation, lies. The lying spirit is out there. What do we do when we face this? The first thing I want us to know is that we must be aware of it. We must know that this is what's happening. And it's happening because in many nations, revival is about to break forth. And the enemy knows that one way of trying to delay or derail revival is to disturb the unity, because it was in Acts, and when they were in the upper room, that they were in one place, in one accord, in one language, waiting upon God. Unity is what draws the power and presence of God. Even in Psalms 133, it talks about unity and says that is where he not only commands the blessing, but where he releases his anointing. And so by disrupting that unity, the enemy knows that this is one way of ensuring that revival is either delayed or deterred. But in Jesus' name, we declare that we will be united as the body of Christ. Relationships will be restored. Relationships will be revived. Relationships will be resurrected in the name of Jesus. And so I just want to share again with you to say, what do you do if you're in a family situation and you see that the relationship is being shaken and has been disturbed and the enemy has brought all that he can to kill that relationship? First thing I want to say to you is don't react. You must respond. Do not react. And by reacting, I'm saying don't react in an emotional way. Don't allow your flesh to react. If somebody accuses you of something, if somebody is suspicious of you, or if somebody is provoking you, do not react in the flesh, but respond in the spirit. Galatians 5:22 tells us that the fruit of the spirit must be in us. And so the fruit that is described there in Galatians 5:22 and 23 talks about the need for us to have love, to have joy, to have peace, to have self-control is one of the very, very important fruit of the Spirit that we must inculcate in this season. So ask God to help give you self-control, kindness, peace, all of those things. Meditate on his word day and night. As you read his word first thing in the morning, that word, and speak that word, and speak Galatians 5:22-23 in you and confess it, that will begin to build the fruit in you. And as you begin to pray and worship God, the presence of God, staying in the presence of God, is what will ensure that the Spirit of God is built up in us And when you have the Spirit of God, you will manifest the fruit of the Spirit as well. So point number one, do not react, respond. Point number two, I want to encourage us to cross-check facts. I went to law school. I'm a trained lawyer, and, you know, we like facts. So please don't believe everything that you're told. Don't rush to believe everything that you've been told. Some things are factually incorrect, or some things may be factually correct but taken out of context. So cross-check facts, and also still be alert, be vigilant in the spiritual realm. Third thing we need to do is respond in prayer. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18, we are instructed to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So remain prayerful, and as you remain prayerful, you will be able to rejoice always, and you will also be able to give thanks. It's prayer that will enable us to be joyful, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. So when we are joyful, we get strength as well. And the fourth thing I would like to ask us to do, as we said, don't react. And so the last point I want to make in terms of how do we respond in this hostile environment is to say that pray as you pray, also ask Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to you. One of the key characteristics of Holy Spirit, he is a truth revealer. So as the enemy tries to bring in deception in your life, in your family, in your relationships, as he tries to falsely accuse you or any members of your family, pray and ask Holy Spirit to reveal the truth. He is the truth himself, and he's faithful to open up the eyes of our understanding to the truth. And so as we close out this session, I want to thank you, all you listeners, for thinking, for listening to this girl all the way from South Africa. God bless you, and I just want to close out by praying and just saying, Father, we thank you for every relationship. And every relationship that has been ordained by you, Father, we thank you that no weapon that is formed or fashioned against any relationship consecrated and ordained by you shall prosper in the name of Jesus. We submit every relationship before you and thank you that you protect it. Thank you for covenant relationships. Thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus that speaks better things, even on behalf of those relationships in the name of Jesus. We thank you for protection. Psalms 91, protection, we speak that protection over every relationship. Thank you for the shalom, peace, and wellness, Father, of who you are, to be released in families, in work relationships, in the body of Christ. And we thank you for shalom, peace. We walk in peace, we move in peace, we talk in peace, we work in peace, we worship in peace. And we thank you that you are Jehovah Shalom, God of peace. We bless you and give you the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Ruth chapter 3 from verse 1 to verse 5. And I'm going to ask somebody to read for me. Ruth, the third chapter from verse 1 to verse 5. In 2020, our vision is clear. The Lord wants us to focus on building. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
It's a building of our lives on a personal level. It's a building our lives on a mental and emotional level. It's building on a spiritual level. It's building in every aspect of our lives. When we have healthy men in any society, we have healthy women. When we have healthy women, we have got healthy families. We build healthy marriages. We build healthy societies. There is a reason why God developed everything in his kingdom with methods and systems. Now begin to realize that in the for the whole Bible, when you begin to read the word of God, you begin to, there is one thing that is common that is coming out. God is a God of systems. Somebody shout systems. Oh yeah, he is a God of systems. When God put Adam in the Garden of Eden, he put him there and he gave him established systems that was supposed to be followed. And as far as Adam, as far as could Adam follow the principles or the system that God had put in place, wouldn't be in the problem or in the situation that we find ourselves in today. There is a system in which God operates. And I believe that that system needs to be followed. It goes through right through the scriptures, such that after what we call the Adamic fall, when the fall of Adam came into effect, we're introduced to God calling Noah to establish another system. And that system would make Noah to be a builder. And he will build an ark. From that ark, God will command him. Anybody who would heed to what you are saying, the system of God established, and enter into the ark shall be safe. And you go through the scriptures, you find out that by and large, God is a builder. By the time he calls Abraham, he tells him to get out of his land, leave everything behind, to go to a land that had a different system. And he says, in that land, I will establish you and I'll call you a father of many nations. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Go through the tapestry of the Bible. You'll find out that when Moses comes to the picture, it's a mosaic structure. It's a mosaic system. And God calls Moses to lead after 430 years of slavery, of pain, of trauma. He removes them from the pharaohic system of Egypt. He takes them to another land to establish his system in that land of Canaan. Am I talking to somebody? So you will find out that in the scriptures, it seems to me that enter Gideon. Gideon is going to called by God to fight against the Midianites to establish a system. Remove him from the picture. Enter Esther. Enter Deborah. Enter Elijah. Enter Elisha. These are systems that God would use his people for them to establish that which was of God. Now, a man of God said a statement while ago in my notes. I was just going through some of my notes. I enjoy writing down things because what you write in ink is more trusted than the digital sometimes. I knew I was going to get that amen from Ian. And I went back 1997 and I wrote a statement down, said by another man of God. He says, in every demonic system that operates in the world, doesn't matter where, Australia, China, Zimbabwe, America, Canada, whatever, in every community, there is a demonic system that is designed to obliterate and to cancel, to paralyze and to bring down and to silence the voice of God. But then he says, for every demonic system that rises up in any region, in any nation, there is always a God system that is designed to counter that demonic system. That's important, isn't it? So you and I, it's important for us to know that no matter what the devil tries to do, he will never outdo God, right? He will never outdo God, because for every demonic system that is established by the enemy, there is always a godly system designed to counter that demonic system. What that means, therefore, is nothing that you go through in your life, nothing that you face in life, nothing that your children will face in life, that does not have already the system in place established by God. That is why he says the steps of a good man are ordered by God, because God is a God of systems. Somebody shout amen. Please hear me and hear me well. When we talk about Esther coming to the picture in the Persian system, she's raised by God as a woman of God to counter a system of the Persians. When Gideon rises up, it is not just about Gideon. He's raised by God to counter a system of the Midianites. Am I talking to somebody? So that you understand that every Abrahamic model, which is a system that Abraham was supposed to operate with, is a system of faith. It's a system of walking with God. You don't have to see it to believe it, but you can just believe it before you see it, and you shall see it. Am I talking to somebody? It's important, therefore, I think, ladies and gentlemen, we understand that even when we read about the life of Joseph, the idea of Joseph being called by God does not end with his dreams. I think if you end on the dreams and the fulfillment of the dreams of Joseph, you have missed the main point. The main point was God sent him to go encounter the system of Egypt, so that when he's in Egypt, the people in his own country, his father and his brothers and his brothers that were now suffering, they would come back to Egypt, and so that he would provide for them. So it goes without saying that in the Australian system, with all its flaws, it's supposed to be. But in the flawed system, God has raised the Church of Jesus Christ. And let me say it with audacity. God is raising destiny to counter the system. That is why we will make a mistake if we build destiny according to other churches. I took my heart out to you as your father. It's important, therefore, that you understand that never compare us with anybody. Never compare us with where you are coming from. Because the system that God wants to establish in this place called destiny, which is the vision that has given us, it's different, it's unique. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
So I want to invite you, let's build it. Let's build it in your unique way that God has given you. Because when God calls us to be part of his system, he calls us knowing very well, he knows your flaws. He knows your weaknesses, but he called you anyway. And I like that, isn't it? If I call my son, Josh, come here, I want to send you. He doesn't start to give me 1,000 reasons why he cannot come to me for what I want to send him to do. We do that all the time. Your first calling brought you into the body of Christ. And you were brought in the body of Christ as your first calling as a child of God, not just to come and sit and watch others doing it, but for you to be part and parcel that fits in into the puzzle of this bigger picture. Huh? I do believe, I was saying to the other pastors, the pastors from that I was talking to, that some of us, when we arrive in heaven, will be so shocked when Jesus now begins to give you the TV of your ministry was designed to grow this way. But you ended only here, in this corner here. Almost like you're feeling like, God, please take me back down there again. Let me go and relive it.
Yeah.
But the devil is a liar. My prayer is, may God reveal to this church here. I often spend time with this girl here, Inonge. And I say to you, stop limiting yourself in your worship. Stop limiting yourself with the little songs that you already know. There are songs that I believe that are trapped in this body. But if you're not careful, you keep on singing the songs that were produced by others. There's nothing wrong with the Darling Check songs. There is nothing wrong with the Planet Checkers. But just all remember, they came from somebody. You have an opportunity, destiny. That is why you realize the ministry in destiny gives everybody an opportunity. So you are as close to God as you want to. I say to when we gather together, my main desire is to keep on pushing you until you find it. Because I know once you find that it, I don't know what it is, your it, but once you find it, I can tell you that you will be unstoppable.
Amen.
You will be unstoppable. Lord, raise that capacity within us so that we can serve your purposes in Jesus' name. I thank you for your faithfulness. I kind of sense that there is a kind of a turnaround and a shift. In this year, I'm sensing something, and I'm sure you're also sensing it too. There is a sense in my spirit there that God is building some things within individuals. He's building structure as well, us corporately as a Church of Jesus Christ. So let's keep on working towards that, and let's keep on believing God for his greatness to be manifested in our lives like never before. Amen.
Amen.
chapter 3 of the book of Ruth, we found, I told you already, there is a Moabitess woman there by the name of Ruth. Ruth was a daughter-in-law, married to one of the boys of Naomi. They find themselves, Elimelech and Naomi, where they were living in Bethlehem, Judah. That's the story. They found themselves going to the land of Moab. When they arrive in Moab, Moab is a paganistic nation. When they arrive there, their boys married the daughters of that land, which was Orpah and Ruth. When time came, after their husbands die, the Bible tells us that Naomi, in thinking of going back, the story says, Orpah kisses her goodbye. She didn't want to leave her people. But Ruth says, what I found and what I've seen in you and what was in your son, paraphrase that, I am going with you where you're going. She makes a vow. She says, where you go, I will go. Where you die, I will die. Remember that? When you look at it, that this is the daughter-in-law telling that to the mother-in-law. Kind of interesting, isn't it? And she says, I'm going with you. When she goes with the mother-in-law and they arrive at the place, chapter 3 opens up something very interesting. Opens up to something that I believe you and I are designed to learn for 2020. Says in verse 1. Who would like to read for me verse 1? Somebody? Anybody? Verse 1.
Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to Ruth, my daughter, shall I not seek rest or a home for you, that you may prosper?
Go ahead.
And now is not Boaz, with whose maidens you were, our relative? See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor.
I suppose what touches me now about the words of Naomi is that at a time when she was telling both Ruth and Orpah that you remain here, my daughters, because there is no seed that's going to come out of my womb. You remember that? Even if you follow me, there are no any children that I'm going to give birth to. Even if I were to be married tomorrow and they give birth to, are you going to wait for them to grow up? So she says to them, choice is yours. You don't have to follow me. Well, there is no hope for you. But there is something there about the tenacity that I find in Ruth, that an attitude that says, I'm still going with you anyway. Get something there in the spirit. Because it's very easy, if you're not careful, that you follow God for what you can get. It's very easy to follow God for the blessings that you're after. It's very easy to follow God because you want Him to meet your needs. It's very easy to follow God because you want Him to do the miracles in your life. While that is not necessarily bad, but I love Ruth. Ruth is going to follow Naomi, not knowing where she's going. When you reach a level in your life where you are not searching for miracles because you are after the miracle worker, that's spiritual maturity. When you reach a place in your life where you are not after His blessings, but you rather have the blesser. That's for me the highest level of maturity. Yeah? She follows anywhere. But when they arrive at the place, listen now to what Naomi says. Naomi now is giving her that option that go down there because Boaz is at the threshing floor. And I love that because as she prepares to go there, what Naomi is doing, she is giving Ruth a proper perspective of a vision, a goal, which is what you need in 2020. Reason why we come up with visional goals on top of our existing vision, living out your God-given destiny, and we keep telling you what is this year in 2020, and it says the year of building. It is because without a vision, you can't go anywhere. You can't go anywhere. Somebody shout amen. And I found out that it becomes important, therefore, that not only corporately a vision should it be something very necessary, but even personally in your own life. So I think carry home tonight this aspect. What is it I'm aiming for this year? What am I aiming at? What's my target goal? What would I like to see achieved by December 31st, 2020, when we meet again at Amest? It starts now. 1 month is gone now. We are now in February. Ask yourself a question. Lord, the next 10 months, they are the next 10 months of the unknowns. I don't know what they carry. But there is one thing that I want to be clear from this fasting and prayer. What am I aiming for? What's my target? Why is that necessary? It helps you in one or two areas. If I know what I want, when I see this young man rising up and is being used by God, I will not be jealous. I just say something very deep. Let him preach better than me. I will never be jealous of him. You know why? Because I know what I'm after. Am I talking? When I see Trevor, I love the stability that is in that man there, Trevor. He doesn't talk much, that man, but it's deep, I'm telling you that now. When he speaks, each time when I catch up with him, there is depth. You can tell it's coming from somewhere. And I want to keep on encouraging you and encourage the guys like Rob here who has just been saved and who are just just hungry to push further. And that's what God is attracted to. God is always attracted to hunger. Empty spaces is what God is after. Because when it's empty, he will fill it. Yeah? He looks at the firmament after he created the heaven and the earth, and the Bible says the earth was a mass of waters. He separated waters from the ground, and he saw the earth as a plain, and he said, let it be filled with grass and vegetation. Because whenever it's empty, God will fill it. Amen. Looked up in the firmament of the sky, and it was just a scary sky with nothing. And God said, I don't like empty spaces. Filled it up, sun, moon, stars, the galaxy. Because whenever it's empty, God does what? He fills it. So when he puts men and women together, and in what we call a consummation of marriage, it's the same principle. He says, I'll give you the seed, the zira, in a man to plant it into an incubator, your wife, so that you become fruitful and multiply. It's a principle that God operate on. And I want you to understand, therefore, that don't allow the devil to limit you. That is why I always say to you, differ between your career is what you are paid from 8 to 5. Your calling is what you leave after your career is gone. Do I make sense? Yeah, because you never want to find yourself that when you're on pension. Now you say, now I want to leave my calling. I think it's unfair. Enjoy your calling in the prime of your life while you're in your career. Oh, Lord Jesus. Walk with him and see what he wants to do. The Bible says, Naomi tells Ruth to go to the threshing floor. What are you gunning for? Because I can still say up until now that oftentimes when I go before God and pray, and I pray for our sisters. And in this church, it's really probably Sister Enonge here who needs a godly young man. But then I often encourage you and I say, not any man will do, Enonge. Because oftentimes the older you get, the voices that come from everywhere begin to say, just grab any man. But when you tell yourself, nah, not any man will do, not any woman will do, talk to me, yeah? And I want you to push for that. I think this year, build with proper stones. Build your life with proper material. Don't just build with anybody anyhow, right? There are places where orphans cannot go, and there are places where only Ruth can go, because Ruths are able to stay with their mother-in-law. Here's my prayer. Father, sometimes it's going to be hard. Sometimes I won't see where I'm going. Sometimes it will be like very blurry. Sometimes it will be like all dusty. And I don't understand what's happening. I'm thinking, where is the miracles that God said he was going to? Where is the blessing I've been waiting for all these years? But keep on serving him. Keep on serving him. Because for every Ruth, there is a boss. There is a boss. Some of you are believing God for a business. Some are believing God for a project. You have been waiting on. And if you keep on waiting for ANZ, ANZ is going to disappoint you. Westpac is going to disappoint you. When everything else fails, there is God for you. Because God has promised you, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Take this home with you. Aim for something, because if you don't aim for something, you will aim for anything, and you think anything will do.
Aim high.
That's right. Yeah. I was counseling some couples today. Probably I counseled about 4 or 5 couples, and always corrected back to the same issues that you always find out in marriages. And that's why may God continue to create a burden in our hearts of responsibility, of understanding that the world around us, they don't have the tools they need. And I believe we have the tools to give them.
Yeah.
Amen. Number one, aim for something. Have a target, have a goal in your life. And once you get that goal, stay there. Once you have that goal, when you are in the church of Jesus Christ, when you see God raising Sue, you won't move away from what you were doing and you want to be like Sue. Can you imagine me trying to say that I'm going to join as well. I'm going to sing in the worship. I can sing. Don't forget that. But I can sing alone. When you look at your life, you find out there are a lot of things that you think you can do. Yeah. If one trying to face the truth. All of us here, if I give you a Bible and open up scriptures, you can preach. But is that what God is calling you to do? Huh? Stay in your station. Grow in that station. Yeah? Because God always will honor faithfulness, not busyness. So my prayer is find it and stay there. Once you stay there and develop it, let it grow. Develop it. Let it grow. And you'll see that God is going to be lifted up. For Ruth, she knew who the guy was, Boaz. And she went to the threshing floor. But before she went to the threshing floor, she says some few things to her. Here's what she says to her. We covered this yesterday. Let's just go through them because it's important. Where are you? You are reading for me, Sue, where you finished. What does she say to Ruth? Wash yourself. That's what she says to her. Wash yourselves. To those that were with us, we already covered that. Washing yourself has to do with letting go of your past. Letting go of your yesterday. Letting go of anything that will limit what God wants to do in your tomorrow. Shall never forget, my pastor who used to preach always used to say that to me, that oftentimes when God comes to you, when you say, Lord, bless me, Lord, I want you to use me, he comes there and he finds you that you're already holding things in your hands. Holding Joe's ministry here. What do you think? I like what Joe has. You're holding Mom Lillian's ministry here. I like that one too, what Mom Lillian has. And you're holding all these things. And God says, how do I give you what's yours when you're holding everybody else? Only when you let go. When you let go and allow God to give you what's yours. Wash yourselves. God is talking, Naomi is talking to Ruth because the importance of letting go of your past is important. Why was I telling you about 4 or 5 marriages that I was canceling over the phone this afternoon? It's because all of them, both of their spouses, they're dealing with. She's always reminding me of her ex. These are marriages, right? And the husband said the same, that I'm being compared with the ex. So you will find out that you don't let go of that. Divorce is coming. Am I talking? Very important, therefore, that you and I, what are the things that I find myself almost like I've got into a covenant with them? You can be in covenant with your pain until you call that sickness mine. And the devil is a liar. Why would I carry what Christ died for? and say, it is mine. Because the doctors have said that. Why? Because that's what people talk, how people talk. I will never own a migraine. I will not own ulcers. I will not own high blood pressure. I will not own asthma. It's not mine. Oh, you know, I forgot my PAFA because my asthma wants me to take. You almost say it in a very proudful way, you know. I need my PAFA because my asthma doesn't allow me to. And I'm saying to you, as long as you clutch to it, it's yours.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.